All right. Our summer title for this morning is Fit to Fight. Ladies, I know you know how to box, so I'm not addressing you this morning. All right, so just talking to the guys. No, that's not true. Our summer title this morning is, what is it?
Fit to Fight.
Fit to Fight. And we're going to discover this morning just what it means for us to live in this world and how God has called us to live. And I'm using the analogy of a boxer. And this very handsome looking guy, that was me once many, many years ago. All right. And how many of you have watched a boxing match? All right. How many of you really enjoy watching boxing matches? Some of you watch them through your fingers like this, right? Because as the blood and the gore goes around. But there was a time when boxing matches were a lot more fun, I think, than they are today. But, you know, we don't follow it as much, I think. It's more cricket nowadays. And this Sunday is India versus Pakistan. I hope we don't end up into a boxing match at the stadium. So let's pray for peace and just a great time of cricket. Pray for? No rain. All right, no rain. That's right, in London. You never know when rain is coming. Well, we're going to be looking at what it means to be fit to fight in this world that we live in. And I've got two little helpers here. Guys, you ready to help me? All right, Zane and Prince, they're going to come up right now. Okay? And I'm going to let them. Zane, do you want to put your gloves on? You're going to have to take my gloves off to put your gloves on. No, you've got to pull that first. Pull that. Pull this. Velcro. Yeah, you pull that. And then you pull. Yeah, go for it. Well done. Thank you so much. Okay. Now you want to put your hand in there? Everybody cheer for Zane as he gets ready. Come on. Camera's out. Get a picture of him. Come on, Zane. All right, now I want the both of you to stand right here, okay? Now, just stay there with me, okay? Zane, you want to have a bit of a trial run here, just give him a couple of punches. Don't worry, he's quite strong. Give him a couple of punches. Just, oh, that's good, all right. Did that hurt? Come on, Mara, didn't hurt at all. Okay, good, all right, stay there, okay, good. All right. I'm reading from the book of 1 Timothy. Chapter 6 and verse 12. It says, fight the good fight for the true faith. Hold tightly to eternal life to which God has called you, which you have confessed so well before many witnesses. Being a believer and a follower of Jesus Christ means you find yourself in conflict with something every day. So what do you find yourself fighting against? I'm not certain what you're fighting against, but I want to use a little illustration here of a very tall, strong young man. His name is Zane. Everybody say, go Zane.
Go Zane.
Go Zane. Come on, getting energy. And Zane represents the believer. All right? And Prince here represents the world.
Come on, Prince.
Prince, you represent the world?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. He represents the world and all that's in the world. And Zane has to live in this world. The believer has to live in this world. And what is the world trying to do to the believer? He's trying to fight with the believer, right? So you want to fight with Zane?
Come on.
Yeah,
Prince.
Go for it.
Come on, Prince.
All right, and yeah, keep going for it, go for it. Yeah, and Zane's fighting back, keep going. Very good job. You fight him and he fights you. Don't feel shy, my friend. I'll give you permission to beat this boy up. Go for it. All right, give them a big round of applause. Thank you so much. All right, please sit down. You can keep your gloves on. Come sit here, Zane. I need you again in a while. Come, please sit down. All right, so we see our life is a life of, please sit down. Come, please sit down. Our life is a life of constant conflict. But what we need to understand is that our conflict is not with one another. It is not with the people, but the Bible teaches us the conflict is with something else. So ask yourself the question, in everyday life, who are you fighting with? For most of us, we'll find that we are fighting with people. You have an argument with your boss. You have a disagreement with your husband, your spouse, your mother, your father, your son, your daughter. Am I living in the real world?
Yes.
You have an argument with somebody that offends you and you're hurt. And so They punch you and you punch them back. They push you, you push even harder back. And so what happens is we begin to live our lives in conflict, but not as the conflict that God wanted us to engage in, but a conflict that is with one another. And when we live our lives fighting in that zone, in that arena, what we do is we pull ourselves down and we pull one another down and we lose sight of the purpose for our lives. Jesus calls us to live our lives by a higher standard of principles and belief. And that places us in a conflict zone or a combat zone that is completely different to the one that most of us spend our time engaging in. John chapter 2 verse 15 to 16 says, "Do not love the world." Everybody say, "Do not love the world." Now I want you to, like, strong. Do not love the world.
Do not love the world.
Or anything in it.
Or anything in it.
But I'm living in this world. And I love watching TV. And I love Andheri Wala Chai. And I love going to the mall. And I love going to the movies. And so, hello, Jesus, what am I supposed to do? You said, do not love the world or anything in it. So how am I supposed to live? If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in, oh my God, is not in there. That means if I love the movies, the love of the Father is not in me. If I love Andheri Chai with extra sugar and ginger, the love of the Father is not in me. Those are things of the world. Is that what Jesus was talking about? Everybody said, no, 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 no. No, with a bit more conviction. No, no, nahi, nahi, kabhi nahi. How do you say it in Tamil? Louder. Ippo me illa. Something like that. All right. The world that Jesus is talking about is not referring to humans or human beings or one another, but it's referring to the humanistic system which is in conflict to God's world and His principles and His ways. And the Bible teaches us that Satan is the god of this world. This corrupt world and its value systems are opposed to the value systems of God's kingdom. So when Jesus said, do not love the world, He was not talking about the tangible things necessarily, but He was talking about the values and the principles by which this world is governed and run. Why? Because Satan is the prince of this world. So do you understand that? And so we have to live our life in this world, but be victorious in this world. So we have to be fit to fight if we're going to be victorious in this world. Are you clear on this? You know, for too long, church leaders and teachers have taught people the way you be holy is by not doing this and not doing that and not wearing lipstick and not... Listen, those things don't make you any more holy than a beef burger in McDonald's. All right? Sorry, you don't get beef burgers here. I was in Bangalore just like yesterday and I had a beef burger. But it doesn't make you any more righteous. It doesn't make you any more good. It is not about the outside. It is about the belief and how the choices that you make in this world. When you are tempted to sin, when you are tempted to compromise, those are the things of this world. And you say, God, I'm not going to sin. God, I'm going to choose not to compromise. That is how we fight in this world. Amen? When everybody at work is bunking off work, early. They don't ask the boss's permission. They lie and they cheat and they overestimate their expenses and reimbursements. And you say, you know what? I'm going to stay at work till my commitment and even further. That is how you are in combat. You with me? Not by standing and preaching and saying, look at you, man. You leave at 4:45. I go to church every Sunday. I'm so holy. I stay till 5 past 5. Never mind you're on the internet and not working. But I'm here. No, you are here and engaged at work, giving it everything. You understand that? You make choices. You don't go with the value systems of this world that say it's okay to cheat, it's okay to compromise, it's okay to lie, it's okay. You say, no, even though I might be struggling, I will fight right. You with me? So how do we fight the good fight that Paul talks about? Our fight, the Bible says, is against good versus evil. It's within ourselves and in this world. The moment you decide to believe in Jesus and follow Him, all hell breaks loose. What that means is where you were living in the system of this world, when you choose to follow Jesus Christ and you enter into His kingdom now, your life is being lived in another dimension. And Satan and this world is completely opposed to you. They will do whatever they can to pull you down and tear you up and chew you up. So how do you live successfully in that? Whilst you are on an assignment for God, understand that there is an assignment against you. And how do these assignments come in our lives? They come in our lives through distractions, through temptations, through bringing us to points where we want to compromise and sin and give in to the kingdom and the principles of God. And we give in to the ways and the systems of the world. You now have choices to make. A choice to please God or a choice to please yourself or to please the systems of this world. The Greek word agonizomai, translated, the word fought means literally to engage in conflict. However, our conflict is of a different kind. It says, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anybody loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them. I mean, those are strong words that the church has taught incorrectly for years. And we have tried to live and fallen short of that standard because it is not a standard that God set. The standard that God set is that we choose to live by the principles and the values that the Bible teaches us, which is not simply a set of rules and regulations and do's and do nots, but actually it is one that is filled and fueled by grace, where you are empowered to be all that Jesus called you to be. Amen. Whether you wear lipstick or not, whether you have long hair, short hair, whether you go to the movies or not, you are fueled by grace. You with me? Come on. Now, I'm not suggesting that we watch movies that are not appropriate, not at all. But I remember when I first came to faith in Jesus Christ, I thought my fight was not to watch movies. And so I would go to the movies because that's what I grew up as a young kid watching, but watch them in guilt and feeling shameful, like I was taught not to be in the movies, but it doesn't say that in the Bible. Yes, we have to be careful of what we watch. We have to be careful of what we listen to. We have to be careful of what we do. But we are called to live in this world, but not be of this world. That means you do not absorb the principles, the values, and the systems, and the ways of this world. Paul in the book of Ephesians chapter 12, he says, and that about wraps it up. God is strong and he wants you strong. So take everything the master has set out for you, well-made weapons of the best materials, and put them to use so you will be able to stand up to everything the devil throws your way. This is no afternoon athletic contest that we'll walk away from and forget about it in a couple of hours. This is for keeps, a life or death fight to the finish against the devil and all his angels. I want us to understand that when we enter into a loving, life-giving, graceful relationship with Jesus Christ, we come in conflict with the entire of this world. And the way we overcome is by preparing our inner man, by renewing our mind, and changing our choices to be those that are focused and geared towards God. Our fight, the Bible says, is not against flesh and blood, not against people. So don't waste time fighting with your boss. Don't waste time fighting with your in-laws or your outlaws, whatever you call them, or your brother or your sister. Spend time loving them, understanding them, giving them grace and mercy and understanding and acceptance. But be aware that there is a much greater battle that we fight that is fought in the unseen realm. It is about the principles and the values and the systems of this world. You with me? And that's where we need to stand strong. Every time you compromise at a traffic light, what are you doing? You're giving in to the system of this. You understand? When the government says pay your taxes and you don't pay your taxes, what are you doing? Giving in to the system of this world. So you can't say, oh, I'm a believer. Or when tax returns comes, you don't submit your tax returns or you patka a little bit. Now you can justify it and say the government doesn't give me anything back, so why should I give anything? Well, what does God's kingdom say? God's kingdom says give to Caesar. In today's world, if Jesus was here, he'd say give to Modi what is Modi, and give to God what is God. No excuses. There's no negotiating. I encourage you, people of life, to be righteous, to live right. Because in that, you will find success. In that, you will fight the good fight and win and overcome. Paul makes this statement about overcoming and living a righteous life. And before that, what does Paul talk about? He talks about relationships of a father to a son. He talks about how children need to honor their parents. He talks about how slaves need to be respectful to their masters and how masters have to care for their slaves. He talks about these relationships. And then he says that war is not against flesh and blood. So I want us to understand that when we fight the good fight, that we choose our fights and fight the fight that God wants us to fight. I want to teach our children here at Life to live right, to make the right choices, so that when they are in school, that they are fighting the right fights. You with me? We've got to fight to love. We've got to fight to forgive. We've got to fight to forget. We've got to fight to extend grace. We've got to fight to extend mercy. Instead, we fight never to forget. And fight never to, I'll never ever forgive you. But why don't we teach our children the gift of forgiveness and grace? Teach them the power of letting go and moving on in life. And when we teach them to fight in those ways, yes, there will be people who will fight with them very differently. There will be people who will never forget if they do something wrong. There will be people who will never forgive them if they don't share their chocolate with them or whatever. But teach your child to live differently. Because that's how we fight differently. And we live our lives differently. Otherwise, we are no different to the people of this world. You might say you've been baptized, born again, Bible-believing, tongue-talking, devil-chasing, whatever else you want to call yourself. But if you are not submitted to the principles of Jesus, we're no better than an unbeliever. Come on, I'm calling us to a higher level of living. Amen? To a greater level. And I'm not saying we're all making it. What I'm saying is wherever we're at, we're going to strive to move forward. Because when you move forward, all of heaven is behind you. Amen? When you're tempted to do something that you know you shouldn't do, and you make the choice not to do it, all of heaven gets behind you. Amen? And you do it again and again, and you soon realize that you're beginning to live righteously. You're making the right choices. The Bible talks about, Paul says, he talks about fighting the good fight of faith, and then he says, take hold of the eternal life to which you were called. His solution to this fight that we are in is simple. We have to see it from a heavenly perspective. We have to see it from the perspective of eternity. Our eternal life with God. He says, take hold of the eternal life to which you were called. What is this eternal life? This eternal life that we live here on earth, and the life that we look forward to in the future. Firstly, it's a life of truth. It's a life of righteousness, of peace and faith and salvation. They are more than just words, but they are the way we live. Apply truth into your life. Be truthful in your relationships with one another. Be kind and understanding. Be righteous in all of your ways. Yes, God makes you righteous, but He also calls us to live righteously. We can't say I'm saved by His grace and live like the devil, can we? It's a life of transformation and constant change. It's a life of faith and peace. God's word is an indispensable weapon. And as we're looking this month at the Word of God and how it is living and active in our lives, when we live our lives by God's Word, that is His principles, we become very powerful human beings in this world. In the same way, prayer is essential in this ongoing warfare. Pray hard, pray consistently. Pray for one another and pray, for goodness sakes, with your eyes open. What do I mean by that? I'm saddened for most believers. If you ask them, do you know what's happening in the city, in the nation, in the world? They're clueless. Totally clueless. Do you know what happened? I don't know. Do you know that? I don't know. I'm just living for Jesus. Jesus said, watch. And if you're not reading the newspaper, if you're not listening to the news, what in heavens are you praying for? Lord bless me. Lord bless my bottom. Lord bless my work. Lord bless my car. Bless my food. Yes, it's good to pray for all of that. But we are called to be in this world, salt and light. Therefore, we've got to what? Watch and pray. My pastor in London taught me this. He said, for goodness sake, pray with your eyes open. You go to most prayer meetings, everybody's eyes closed. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong to sleep. What I'm saying, I'm making a point, is we need to be watchful of what is happening around us. Be aware of what is happening in the city. Be aware of what is happening in your building, in your society, so you can pray. Be aware of what's happening in your neighbor's life so you can pray for them. Hello? How many of you know your neighbors? That's good. Invite them over for chai. And when they tell you all their problems, say, you know what, can I pray for you? Spend 2 minutes. Don't pray for 25 minutes. 2 minutes. Keep your eyes open and bless them. And they will thank you for that. And when God begins to work in their lives, you will have an opportunity to introduce them to Jesus Christ. Amen. Come on, let's make our faith real. Let's make it part of our everyday life. If somebody in the office says, oh my God, my auntie died, my uncle is sick, can I pray with you? Then don't go into Christian prayer mode. Say, hey, can I pray with you? What's happening? Come on, give me an illustration. Come on up. Can I pray with you? Really, uncle's not well. Do you mind if I just put my hand in? Can I pray for you? Lord, I pray that you bless his uncle, that you help him to come through. Eyes are open. I'm communicating with him. And I'm just showing them that I care. And God in heaven hears you. Does he say he hears a long prayer? What does the Bible say? God responds to it, righteous prayer. Prayers prayed in righteousness is what God responds to. So when we pray righteously for one another, our God in heaven hears and he answers. A prayer prayed in faith is what he's looking for. Not the length of your prayer, but the motive of your prayer. Amen. And you pray, and God comes through for his uncle. What is he going to do? He's going to, thank you so much. He's going to come back and say, you prayed, but I don't know, I felt something. Something changed, and my life is different. That's how we engage in this world. Amen? Will you do this each week? Look for opportunities. Keep your eyes open. Keep your mind alert to what is happening in the city, so as you can reach out to people. We are living in exciting times. And what a time for us to live our life of faith in. Whilst we have the privilege of being on God's dream team, fighting the good fight, we are also fully equipped. We have the principles of His Word, the standard by which we must live our lives. We have the person of the Holy Spirit in us, the Holy Spirit that dwells within us, that helps us to overcome. We have the promise of His presence. He will never leave us or forsake us. Whatever fight we're going through, God is always with us. And we know that God will never, ever, ever forget about us. Amen. This morning, as we continue in a new week, as you step into a new week, choose your fights with wisdom. Choose not to fight with people. Choose not to fight with your family. Choose not to fight with one another. But instead, understand that your fight is with the system of this world. Choose not to give in, but to live righteously. I mean, sometimes I take the fight too literally, especially when I'm in my car. Which is why I don't like driving it too often. And you're on a road. It's a narrow road. And you're trying to lawfully process forward. And then there are two auto rickshaws, one truck, and 25 bikes trying to get past you at the same time. There have been times where I have, in all earnestly and the grace of God, biting my tongue, got out of my car and spoken to people and said, if you don't stop, I can't go. And if I can't go, you can't go. Which means we all get stuck here. And for those of you that are new to Bombay, you will discover this. There have been times I've been at crossroads. just across the road here at City Mall, where we cut across. I'm trying to drive, 500 other cars are trying to go straight, 25 pedestrians, one bajiwali, 25 motorbikes, one auto rickshaw, all going like this. And nobody is letting anybody go. And what happens? Everything stops. And then there's always one guy who finds a little bit between one kind, he's trying to get in there as well. And it's like, guys, if we only all just waited for one another. And sometimes you might see me in Andheri, stepping out of my car. And I'm saying, please, please stop here. And I'm trying to do as carefully as possible so nobody knifes me or beats me up in all righteousness and humility. But there's anger in me. Righteous anger. I step out and I try and manage these cars so they can move forward and I can move forward. Sorry? You're right. And this is what it is like living in this world. There's chaos all around us. But if we just keep pushing like everybody else, we just end up in a roadblock. But it takes one person. And I've seen sometimes, it's not me, it's somebody else that gets out. A good Samaritan, I call them good traffic Samaritans. And they start managing the traffic. And the traffic begins to flow. Why? Because nobody in themselves has the power to do what is right. Everybody is doing what is right in their own eyes. But it only takes one person to get out or come from the side and say, hey, you wait here, let this car go. Hey, you wait here, let this car go. And before you know it, everybody is flowing and happy. Sometimes that person is me, but sometimes it's not. It's somebody else. And I thank God for them. That's what it is to live in this world. There's chaos all around us. But if one righteous person stands up with grace and mercy and leads the way, we lead people into a better place. Amen? Will you be that one person that will fight the right fight, that will fight the good fight, and know that God has called you to a life of victory? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you. Lord, in this life of chaos, in this world that is designed to completely work against us, we need to live in this crazy world, but we need to live righteously and live our lives godly. I pray, Lord Jesus, that each one of us today will commit to living righteously, commit to fighting right in this world, Lord, and living by the standards to which you have called us. And this morning, as we take communion, let each one of us recommit our lives afresh. Each one of us commit our lives afresh to loving and serving God this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Come, let's take communion this morning. And as you come to break bread and share in what Jesus has done for us, say, Jesus, work on the inside of me and help me to be a stronger, more powerful believer for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Ooh.